Welcome to the DuPage Vineyard Teaching Channel. Thank you for joining us.
So I mentioned last night, or I mentioned that we got back last night from a combination of vacation and being at a pastor's conference. We were in Southern California. Every other year, the Vineyard does a national pastor's conference where pastors from all over the country and church leaders get together, and it's a time of teaching and worship and ministry. Excuse me. Really a good time. Really enjoy it. This year was a very interesting one. I want to share a little bit about my experience at the conference, and there's some implications for here, but I have to put a caveat out there first. We got home last night, and then I was up, writing down my thoughts, making sure, because I like to have them in front of me so I don't totally space out on Sunday morning, and went to bed late, woke up a few minutes before the alarm clock, and I woke up with a dream going on. And I'm one of those guys, I know people say everybody dreams. I really believe that's a lie. The number of dreams I've had in my life that I can remember are, I can count on the fingers of one hand. It's just not true for me. Maybe I forget all of them all the time. So when I do have one, it's notable. So I woke up with a very clear dream going on. And my first thought was, wow, a dream. Lord, are you trying to say something? I mean, I think speaking to me through dreams, that's pretty good. I'm up there with, some of the big guys in the Bible, Daniel, and, with dreams. So, kind of facetiously to the Lord, but I asked him, so Lord, are you trying to tell me something through this dream? And immediately a thought popped into my mind, and it was, yeah, don't teach what you prepared. And I said, Lord, the service starts in a couple hours. You could have told me this last night. I could have been in bed earlier. So I was like, okay, you're the Lord. That's kind of part of the deal here. We said that a long time ago. He's God and I'm not. That wasn't a hard sell. So this morning I've been saying, okay, Lord, I won't teach that. But then I'm kind of dependent on you giving something for me to just, or I just call the worship team up and we do the whole set twice, which I'm very open to doing. So I didn't warn Nathan about that, but we'll see. So anyways, going through motion, we got here and praying, and it seems like the Lord just tends to speak to me in the restroom, so I'm there, and I had a couple phrases come to mind. So I'll share those in a minute. I do want to share a little about the conference, but I'm just putting that out there so you know that I'm kind of, from the get-go this morning, I'm on a few hours sleep and stepping out on thin ice, but that seems to be what the Lord likes to push us in. So I'm just inviting you to join me on the thin ice. And we'll see what he does to say, or what he wants to do this morning. So anyways, we went to this conference, very excited, about 3,000 people from around the country. We only gather every couple years. And I went with a lot of anticipation for two reasons. One, I went just feeling kind of tired. The first half of the year was a long year. There was a lot. It was very busy for me, and I was just kind of tired and kind of saying, Lord, I could use some refreshing here, and don't know what that looked like exactly. I realized that I'd gotten overcommitted. Besides the church and the business I run, I also had a ministry that was growing to pastors in terms of coaching them and doing workshops and seminars, and the plate was really too full, and I realized this spring I needed to let that go. So I have communicated that to some of the guys whose teams I was on, some of the other pastors, so that kind of, so okay, that's, if that's going to happen, it's going to be down the line, I just need to let that go. I felt really good about that, so that freed up some time, but I was still tired from doing it all. So I went in saying, on the one hand, Lord, I'm going here to receive. I had to do some presenting, but it was a very small part, so it wasn't a particularly big deal. But I find those conferences often, they're either overwhelming because you've got so much stuff coming at you that it's like taking a sip out of a fire hydrant, or you learn, as I have over the years, to kind of grab the parts and get refreshed and let the rest go and not try and even keep track of everything. So the second reason I was anticipating things and looking forward to seeing what happened is that is where the Vineyard is overall. And we're a local church, some of you as individuals are more connected to the fact that we're part of a vineyard, a larger body, and some less so. But I've been in it for, 30 years now, so I'm pretty connected. I've got a lot of friends from all over the country I've had for years, so it's a really good time. But there's two things. One, the vineyard has a new national director, a guy named Phil Strout, who I've met briefly but don't know but have listened to and am really encouraged by his vision and direction, and that's been exciting. But he just came on this last year, so this was his conference would be his first kind of signature, where he's saying, this is, my vision, this is where we're going. So I was very interested to see how that would play out. Secondly, I know that there's been a fresh wind of the Spirit blowing, I think probably around the world, around the country, certainly in the vineyard the last couple of years. An increasing amount of Holy Spirit activity, of hunger for people saying, God, I want more of you. I'm not satisfied. I'm hungry. More people starting to press out. And I was very interested to see how that would play out with the new national director. What is he going to do with this wind? Because as I talk to guys in Chicagoland, around the country, there's been this common sense of, God's on the move. And my perspective on that, by the way, goes back, like I said, almost 30 years into the mid-80s. And I was wrecked by the vineyard, by just experiencing God in fresh ways and hungering for more of that. And it kind of has gone in ebbs and flows over the years. There's times where it seems really intense and times where it seems kind of, okay, well, it's not a lot happening. Other times really intense and then not a lot happening. And so, but it's been this wave of feeling like, okay, God is up to something, and it's felt significant. So I was very interested to see what would happen and how that would play out. And it felt like, I told one person, it felt like Phil, the national director, kind of identified that wave, got behind it, and blew in it. Like there's a sail and God is blowing, and he went and I'm not sure how much any individual's helps when God is really blowing, but every little bit, it was encouraging to me that he's lining up with that. So I came in, and by the first night, I was like, oh, this is great, and we had, there was great teaching and worship all week long. But just this sense of God refreshing, of blowing, and looking around and seeing 3,000 people, many I knew, but the majority, obviously, I didn't with that many people, completely united around this sense of this is who we are and this is where we're going. And Phil has outlined three things. I'm not going to just talk about Phil, but since he's obviously a key figure. As he said, this is who we are as a vineyard. We're about three things. First of all, is just the presence of God. We're about the presence of God. If we don't have that, if we don't have God showing up in our midst in a way that we can experience him and connect with him, it's pointless. We're no different from anybody else. We have nothing to offer the world. This is who we are and what we're about. This is kind of where the game is won or lost, if you want to put it that way. This is, I'm listening to that going, amen, because I really have no desire to go to church and not meet God. That just feels kind of like a waste of time. Second was about proclamation. Okay, this is good news, and the world needs to hear good news. We've actually committed as a movement to plant 750 churches over the next 10 years. So what that means is for a lot of you, some of you are going to be part of a church plant at some point in the future. Some of you might be pastoring a church plant. So I'm just giving you fair warning. We'll see how that plays out. God's going to have to put his finger on you or not. And just to be really fair with you, those of you who immediately, as soon as I said that, said, I'm safe, that's not me. we'll see. God might have a way of surprising you. And the third thing is just doing practical ministry really well. He's a very practical, nuts and bolts guy. It's not all... people tend to go to one side or the other. They tend to be very spiritual and love the Holy Spirit and ministry, but they couldn't schedule their week if their life depended on it. They've got no organizational skills at all. Or they're on the other side. They're super organized on top of details, but this Holy Spirit stuff is kind of like, let's just leave that apart. And the vineyard's always been about both. And Phil just really combines both, says we're both, not either or. We're both. We want to do the practical stuff really well. And we want to see the presence of God and the power of God in our midst in a way that's obvious. And I sat there just going, Phil, I'm in. All in. I'm in. So, on a personal level, we started this way. We get to our hotel. There's a nice big pool. And we decide as a family, we're going to play Marco Polo. I don't know how many of you know Marco Polo. It's, you know, you get in the water, somebody yells Marco, and everybody else yells Polo, and it's a kind of a game of tag. And we found out that Shiloh rocks at Marco Polo. You cannot beat this girl. So we're there playing, and we have the whole pool to ourselves. It's completely empty. And then one woman comes down, and she's kind of hanging out, watching us, you know, with, I think, a little drink on the side and laughing her head off, just like, you know, because we're having a lot of fun. She's watching. We end up talking with her. She ends up jumping in the pool and playing Marco Polo with us. You know, lazy lady. She actually didn't even go to the hotel. She just snuck in because she liked hanging out by the pool. So now, here's the way this plays out. You know, we finish the game, we get out, and pretty soon I see Anita, my wife, if you don't know her, over there talking with this woman, Kimberly. And they're talking, and they're talking, and I look over again, I see Kimberly's crying. I think that's my wife, she's got her. And I look over a little later, and they're talking and talking, and Anita's praying for her, and she's crying, and then they're hugging. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is like a half hour on. I'm like, okay, you know, I just wanted to go take a shower. You know, I'm pretty fleshly that way, and they're praying. Brings her over to meet the rest of us, and we're all kind of, you know, hanging out and, you know, praying, okay, Lord, get her, you know, use Anita, get her, bless her. She comes over and she's like, oh, this is so wonderful. And she's, you know, you guys are great. And all of a sudden, Jessica goes, you know, I think I might have something from God for you. Can I share that? And she's like, well, sure. And he proceeds to give her a prophetic word, which was completely aligned with all the stuff Anita had just been telling her on the other side of the pool. And she's like, that's God, you know, and recommits her life to Christ. And so this is the first day. This is the first night of the conference is that night. Now, it's a pastor's conference. You got to pre-register for it. Somehow she bumped into another Vineyard pastor later who shared with her and prayed with her, invited her to the conference. She comes over. They wouldn't let her in. Somehow she snuck in. And somewhere in there, Anita gets a text saying, I'm in the conference. I'm worshiping. And I'm like, I have no idea what happened after that. But it's like, okay, this is a setup. This is how our week began. Like, okay, God has done a move. God is doing something. And so the conference was encouraging. We got lots of prayer. The last day, fast forward, you know, we finished that and took some vacation time. So yesterday, we're on our way out. You know, we're on a tight deadline. We got to drop some stuff off and get to the airport. And, you know, we're cheap, so, you know, we got a little flat and we buy our own food and cook it, you know, as much as we can so we don't spend money at restaurants. But, you know, the end, you got all these odds and ends. We had some leftover chicken and some bread and different things. And I'm like, okay, throw it out. We got to go. Now, if you know my wife, one thing to never say to her is look at food and say, throw it out. Because the response will be, there are starving children in Africa, and she can tell you their names, and this does not work in our family. Okay, so I'm like, okay, fine. We'll find a homeless person somewhere. I'm thinking, yeah, right, okay. I'm not stopping. We're going. So if they catch us, well, told you, I'm fleshly, she's spiritual. So we have to stop and get a passport photo for her, and I'm paying for it. I walk outside, and across the street, I see Anita and Jeshua talking to two homeless people, with giving them bags of food, and she's, you know, Anita's praying for her, and I'm like, okay. And they were really blessed. And before we could even take off, the guy's digging in the bag, and he's pulling out the chicken. He's chomping on it. I'm like, okay, I think they were hungry. All right, Lord, I repent, you know. But I say all that because I think somehow all those things pull together, and they're important for us to get a hold of. One, you know, being at the conference was wonderful. You know, we're receiving teaching and being in worship. It's great, very refreshing and very encouraging. But if I think back a few years from now on this conference, I'm probably going to remember that picture of Anita praying for Kimberly and feeding the homeless people more than I'll remember the conference. I heard great speakers, but I couldn't even tell you all their names right now, and I couldn't tell you all their content. But I remember ministering to a woman at poolside, feeding the homeless. And somehow that balance, when we gather together like right now, this is, in one sense, for us. It's times of refreshing. That was actually, I mentioned, the Lord gave me a phrase this morning. That was the phrase, times of refreshing. I'm going to look at that scripture in a minute. That this now is supposed to be a time of refreshing when we gather together. But it's refreshing for a purpose. When we go out of here, we're filled up and can talk to the Kimberleys and care for the homeless and pass on the things that God gives us. One of the biggest traps for any church or any group of churches is to think that what God does for us is only for us. It's never that way. He does it for us because he loves us, but also because he loves other people. And he gives things to us so that we can be a blessing to those around us. And as Christians, we need to live with both. If you are only giving, 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 and you're serving the homeless and you're sharing your faith, and you never have those times of refreshing, you're going to burn out. You're going to dry up, and it's going to get hard. Your heart will get hard. It will get old. And you will feel almost like God is using you. Like you don't have value. It's only what you can do for other people. And I've seen people leave the ministry because of that. Just feeling empty and worn out. But the opposite is also true. If you go and you just go to meeting after meeting and service after service, and I know people who've spent thousands of dollars, they spend their whole life going from conference to conference around the country just to get the latest high and get a fix and get more teaching and have a great experience with God, and are never involved in giving it out, well, you end up dying of spiritual obesity. Okay, I don't know a better way to say it. You're taking in and taking in and taking in, but you're never giving out. That's equally unhealthy. And I believe that God has called us as a church to walk in both those things. You have to have times of refreshing. Times where you're connecting with God and he's loving on you and blessing you and talking to you and filling you, and there's no other agenda except me and Daddy are hanging out and he loves me. And that's good. You also have to have times, sometimes where you're giving sacrificially, where you don't have the time, you don't have the energy, you don't have the money, and God is saying, give it anyways. And you're out there passing on, ministering the kingdom. We're called to be both. You know, and any particular day or week, you know, could have a little bit more emphasis on one or on the other. But over time, you've got to walk in both. It's interesting that that phrase, times of refreshing, it comes out of the book of Acts, out of chapter 3. And the context is that Peter and John have just gone to the temple, and they've healed this guy who's been lame for years. And he's up, and he gets healed, and he's walking and leaping, and he's praising God, and it's that famous line where he begs for money, and Peter says, you know, money I don't have, but what I have I give to you. Stand up and walk. And the guy is jumping up, and incredibly powerful experience. And he was known, so the word's getting all over the place, and people are flocking to listen to Peter. And Peter begins preaching, and he basically says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know is made strong. It's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. And he's talking about in crucifying Jesus. Basically, he says, you know what? You crucified the Lord and Savior of the whole universe. But I know you really didn't know what you were doing. You had no clue what was really going on here. You acted in ignorance. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Now here's the key verse. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Saying, okay, God is doing some wonderful things. I mean, amazing healing. People are flocking to hear. He says, now repent and turn from your sin. And repent means change your way of thinking, change your mind, change your direction. You've been going one way, you've kind of been living your own life, doing your own thing. Stop and turn and actually start to live for God, and times of refreshing will come to you. See, I think people back then, just as we are now, could be stressed out, could be tired, could be worn out for all kinds of different reasons. We get worn out by the busyness and pace of life, but they were doing manual labor for 12, 15, 16 hours a day sometimes. They get pretty tired too. Refreshing was needed, just looked different. But his solution was, you know what? Stop, change your direction, come to God, and he will refresh you. In Hebrews 4, it talks about God having a Sabbath rest, a place of rest for his people. Not just in eternity, not just one day a week, but a rest that we can live in. He says that comes out of two things: faith, believing what God says, and obedience, acting on it. And when you do that, you will live in a place of rest. Now you put those together, that means stop what you've been doing. Stop just doing what you think is best and operating according to your plans and energy. Start believing what God says and base your life on that, and God will bring you rest. He'll bring times of refreshing. I went into the conference saying, God, I need some refreshing. I'm just tired, you know, and I need to change some things in my schedule. I need to change some things in my life and let some things go, and if I take on some other things, and et cetera. But in the process, that was a time of repentance, frankly. Repentance means you're going in one direction, you change your mind. There's this idea that when you hear the word repent, I don't know about you, it calls up this picture of the fire and brimstone preacher on the street corner holding up a sign that says, you know, turn or burn, you know, repent or die. And it's like, well, that doesn't really capture the biblical flavor of it. It means change your direction. And so this morning, I just want to put it out there, I think some of us probably need to change direction. It might mean that you're involved in some serious sin that you need to give up. If that's the case, then I'd encourage you to give it up. But more often, when I'm talking in a church context, the repentance is that we get just off track. We get unfocused. We get focused on things that aren't God's best. They may be good, they may be okay, but they're not his best. And then we end up never really experiencing what he has for us. And it can almost make us resentful because we feel like, I see all these promises in the Bible, and I hear about other people doing all these things, but I don't have them. And we never face up to the fact that, and maybe the reason I don't have them is because I'm not living wholeheartedly for God. I'm not believing what he says and basing what I do on he says, and so I'm ripping myself off. And so the invitation to repent and receive times of refreshing isn't God up there shaking his finger saying, you are so bad. Get your act together and I'll bless you. It's an invitation to say, you know what, the way you've been going, not working so well. Not working so well. Turn, embrace what I say about you and about what's important with life, and times of refreshing will come because that's what I want for you. That's what I have for you. I mentioned, you know, part of my process here was this year was letting go of some of the coaching I'm doing, other things I'm doing for other pastors. I really enjoy that. And I really get good feedback from it. I've had a number of pastors come and say, man, my church is really growing because I'm doing what you suggested. I'm like, great, that's wonderful. That's very satisfying. It's very encouraging. But as I looked at my life and the things that God's put on my plate, I had to say, you know what, this is a really good thing, but it's not God's best for me right now. Maybe God will bring that back at some point. Great. I would love it if he does. But right now, as I sit down and look and say, God, what do you have? What's your best for me? There's lots of good things that all of us can do. Lots of things that we can make an argument for. But in our heart of hearts, often we know what God's best is. Or we know when we're compromising because we're afraid. If I don't do this, I'll lose out. Or whatever. That I had to deal with that. But man, if I don't coach these guys, they're not going to think I'm wonderful. And of course, I want all the other pastors to think I'm wonderful, right? That's what I'm in this for. But, you know, there is things like that. There's our own fear and our own ego and stuff like that. And it can sidetrack us from saying, God, what's your best for me? Not just what's good or valuable. There's a ton of stuff out there for all of us that's good. And you could make the case, and no one could disprove it, that this is good. But maybe it's not God's best. And so I want to encourage you this morning to say, Lord, what's your best for me? And don't think that that means necessarily you have to quit your job and devote yourself to full-time ministry living by faith. If God says it, ask him to confirm it. And if he does, ask him to confirm it again. And then if he does, go for it. But that's not necessarily God's best. It might be. But here's what I want to say. Wherever you are, whatever your situation is, whether it's you're single or married, you've got kids, you don't have kids, you're working, you're not working, ask the question, God, in my circumstances right now, I want to say, what is your best? What's the one thing I should most give myself to? I still have to brush my teeth. I still have to do the laundry. Please. That's just life. Don't get overly spiritual with it. But what's the one thing, God, you want me to press into? What is that one thing that is your best for me? For some of you, that's going to mean a renewed emphasis on prayer and just pressing into God personally. For some of you, it's going to mean taking the risk of starting to reach out and share your faith and say, man, I need to learn how to do this. I hate talking to people about Jesus. And God says, but that's my best for you. And then your response is, yes, Lord. Okay. It scares the pants off me, and I don't know how to do it, and I feel uncomfortable, and okay, I'm in. You got to teach me, Lord. You got to show me. I've never prayed that, Lord. You got to teach me. You got to show me. And God said, you're on your own. If it's the Lord's best for you, he's committed to helping you learn how to do it. But you got to go after it. For some of you, it might mean serving in the church. For some of you, it might mean a different focus at home in your relationships. But God, what's your best for me? I don't want just what's good. I want your best. And I want those times of refreshing. You know, refreshment comes a lot of different ways. You know, for some, I'm talking on a human level, you know, a long bike ride, I find that wonderful, it's restorative, no one can talk to me, you know, I don't have a cell phone with me, and I'm just pumping away, and it's wonderful. For others, it's being out in nature. For others, you need people around. You get refreshed, well, man, just give me someone to talk to. Give me five people to talk to. That you know, the more the better. But there's another level of refreshing that comes, I think, from being in the presence of God. That verse in Acts 3, the NIV leaves this phrase out. I'm not sure why, but any other version will have it. It says, repent so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. There's this place in the kingdom and in life where there's a kind of refreshing that comes from being in God's presence that doesn't come any other way. It's a refreshment that goes deeper than just kind of restoring your body and restoring your energy. It restores your spirit, your soul, the core of who you are. And, you know, as we go into worship here in a little bit, my prayer is, Lord, send times of refreshing right now. On everyone here, wherever you are. And what I want to encourage you to do when we go into worship is say, okay, Lord, one, show me your best, and whatever you show me, I'm going to go after it. But secondly, I'm just going to open myself up to you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to express myself to you and position myself to say, Lord, I want everything you have for me. And receive from him. Just make it a God time. I actually, as I was praying about that phrase, I think probably most of the month of August, and I won't swear this in the Bible, this is my sense, okay? You understand it's a, you know, an art, not a science here, is that for a lot of us, August is supposed to be a month of refreshing, of not striving, of not trying, working real hard to be spiritual, but positioning ourselves to receive from the Lord and learning how to do that and be refreshed. Where your times with God aren't just a duty or a chore, but a time of connecting with him and hearing him and having him love on you. And some of you are going, man, my times with God aren't like that. Well, wonderful. It's a good time for that to change. Because you need that. It's not, times of refreshing aren't just in church. I think there's something special when we gather that the Lord does. But he wants to meet with you when you're alone and speak to you. When you're in the restroom and speak to you. when you're laying in bed and you're waking up with that funny dream and going, God, is that you? He says, yeah, that is. Yeah, you, me, Abraham, Daniel, Joseph, you know, I give them all my favorite dreams.
This has been a DuPage Vineyard Church production.